be there with us, for us. But when I think about my life, have you thought about your life lately? And that he's always been there for you? There's never been a time when Jesus wasn't there for me. And I have failed him miserably many times. Have you? And then you come to him, and he receives you like you're wonderful or something. And it amazes me. He never says, you should be ashamed of yourself. He doesn't come with this loathing of you. Like, well, it's fine time you showed up. He never has treated me that way. When I run to Jesus, he says, oh, I love you. Come on. Come on. Come up in my lap. Let's talk. What have you been up to? Come on. I've got some things for you to do, child. I've got places for you to go. I've got people for you to speak to. I've called you to be an influence in your whole family system. I've called you to prophesy my word with integrity. I've called you to take good notes. You'll need them for the future. God is speaking to us. Literally, individually, he's doing it. I have all the answers to your questions, sir. I have all the answers you need. Come to me more often. Sit with me. I want to baptize you with my spirit. Let me do that. I was by myself sitting on the side of my bed. No big fanfare. I just said, God, I want everything you've got for me. And all of a sudden it was, and your language will morph and change, just like your life. I've called you to be an encourager to people who don't seem like they really even deserve it sometimes. And I've called you to do it anyway. I've called for your love to be flowing out of me to people who need me. They're messed up. They're messing up on the job. Their life's a mess. You can see it. And you go, how am I supposed to do with this guy? What am I supposed to do with this person? God says, ask me, and I'll tell you exactly what to do. And you not only minister to something physical, you will minister to their spirit. Just keep your ears open. Just listen. Listen. I'm talking. You've heard me before. You know my voice. I have your kids. I have your kids. They're mine. They are mine. I call them mine. Trust me and just listen. That's all you have to do. Those two things. Trust me and listen. And you'll know. You'll just know. Don't allow yourself to ever let fear make a decision for you where they are concerned. No fear. Mave hikom yaresifa. Suda bele shahra kosopatas. Thank you, Lord Jesus, mercy. I'm your place of safety. Always run to me. I'm your place of safety. Always just run to me. Run to me. You keep staying in the Word. I'm telling you, the words, you're going to become a different person. You stay in the Word. You stay in the Word. If you'll stay in the Word, the Word will get in you, and you'll become somebody. You said, I can't believe I'm like this. I never was. And people would say, we didn't used to be like this. And you go, well, I am now. Well, I am now. Praise God. Praise God. His Word is there to change us. His Word isn't just there so you can, you know, impress people with what you can quote. That's not what the Word is there for. The Word is there so we change from the inside out. What good is it to put nice clean clothes on a dirty body. You'll still stink. God comes to change us from the inside out so that there's a sweet savor about our lives that's filled with love and blessing and joy and fullness. This is what God wants for all of us. You're not the Lone Ranger, God says, because I'm with you everywhere you go. You've had a lot of trials and some obstacles that seemed like they were obstacles, and then they were obstacles, and then they were obstacles again. God said, if you'll keep moving forward, I will make them bend to you. I will cause them to bend to you. And you'll just kind of go, okay, all right. And you'll find yourself moving forward. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Fali hishibidanis. Fili reboko soko. Caleb, I've called you to encourage the people around you. Always encourage them. Short and sweet and to the point. Encourage them. So that they'll remember the few words you say. You can say a whole lot, but they don't need to hear a whole lot. Just say a few encouraging words to people at a time. They'll hold on to it much better. Because God says, I use you to be an encouragement. Amen. Reese, you're not the least. Not to God, you're not. I'm the answer to your questions. I'm the answer to what you haven't seen, but you wish you could. I'm the answer to what you want to know and don't yet understand. Get into my word, and my word will get into you, and so will understanding. God says, I'm faithful to you. He says, be faithful to me, because I've got things for you to do that you haven't even thought about and sometimes haven't even really cared about. And God says, that's okay. That's okay. It will come in its due season. God says, don't be hard on yourself about anything. Don't be hard on yourself about anything. Lighten up, buddy. God loves you. You're in a good place. You're not called to be like everybody else. If you try it won't work for you. It won't work. Be you. Be God. Be who God called you to be. He said, come spend some more time with me. I'll begin to open it up and reveal it to you. Because right now it looks like a blank page to you. You have your ideas. I understand. But God says, I'll work with you. Because God says, because I have ideas too for you. And it's going to be better than what you would come up with. So train up a child in the way they should go. She won't depart. Tell her the good and the bad. And she won't depart. At some point, it'll blossom. It'll just blossom. Holding her to a standard is okay up to a point. But she's her. She's her own little person. She will make her own little mistakes. Don't freak out. Whatever you do, don't freak out when she does. Remember that God loves her more than you, and his cords of love never break. Oh, feel that. I'm just hearing this. It's short and sweet, Chris, but God says, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. You're so dependable. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. You show up. You do the deal. You understand that it's important to always just show up and do the deal. You got that. God says that's priceless. There's so many people have all kind of gifting and everything, but you never know if they're going to show up or not. You know, you never know if they're going to help scrub the dishes or clean the kitchen or do anything. They just kind of show up with their gifting. God says, I'm not impressed with gifting. I'm impressed with faithfulness. Gifting is a gift, and it takes nothing much for you to move in it. But God says the other stuff, it takes a lot on you to do it. I call it grunt work. Yeah. Si bavar hukuma. So God sees and knows. Si seviana para sovraku pasuchete. Terakota. Dee, did you have something? Se valakro como sosubia shaka. Thank you, Jesus. Well, don't you love that we don't have an order of service? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I started to put this up. I don't even know where I am right now, Harley. I'm just so out there. So, ooh, glory to God. Okay. I'm looking at my friendly clock up there. I'm going to talk to you today about focus. Focus, focus, focus. Focus. How do you focus? What do you mean? Focus, focus on what? I'm glad you ask. In Matthew 14:22, let's go there. Ah, this is good. I'm gonna start in verse 22, Matthew 14:22. This is after Jesus had filled the multitudes with the fish and bread, okay, but they're fixing to leave. So immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So Jesus wasn't with them. He sent them away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. That's key right there. He'd been engaging a lot of people. He had heard some things other people had said. He wanted to hear from God. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 and 6 a.m., can you imagine? The watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." That was a command from God. He wasn't trying to reassure them. He was telling them, this is what you've got to do now. Do not be afraid. When Jesus gives us a command, is it optional to us? And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus is thinking, well, yeah, it's me. Come. He didn't give him an option. If it's you, Lord, say, come. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I don't know anybody else has ever done that. Do y'all? I really don't. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. This is a man who's walking on water. I mean, you can, people give Peter a hard time because he denied Jesus three times. But when he came out of the other side, look what he could do. Look what he could do. He had so much faith, he got out in the middle of a storm to walk on the sea. But then the storm, oh boy, anted up, right? And then this is what happened. It says, but when he saw. Well, see, at first he was looking at Jesus, wasn't he? Because he's walking to Jesus. So that's where his focus was, wasn't it? It was on Jesus. But when he no longer was looking at Jesus, he began to look at the storm. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I'm sure we have never done that. I'm sure none of us have ever done such a thing. We looked at the problem. We were in the Word that morning. We were looking at Jesus, had a wonderful time about 2 o'clock. I mean, sometimes you don't even make it through the day. Sometimes you don't make it through the first hour. And all of a sudden it's like, I can't find my car keys. I'm going to be late for work. Y'all understand? It's so easy, isn't it? But when he saw, but this was a fear. Peter had overcome fear enough to do what Jesus commanded him to do. Don't be afraid. He did it at least for a while. I give him kudos for that. He's walking on the water in the middle of, you know, it's 3 to 6. It's dark. There's things in the water, you know. Creepy things. Creepy crawly things in the water and sharks and, you know. He was a fisherman. He knew what it was to be out there. And when he saw the storm, he was afraid. His fear never affected Jesus, I want you to notice. Our fear, crying out, misbehaving, God never changes. He's the same. Jesus was the same when he commanded him to come, and he's still the same. Jesus is still walking on the water, just where Peter left him. And so, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Don't you know it? And immediately, I believe Jesus was translated. He wasn't right there at Peter. He had to have been translated to be there immediately. Y'all understand? And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith. I go, wow, he was walking on water. He walked on water. Wow. But Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. I'm talking to you about Jesus' perspective. Your faith can be as big as your focus of Jesus. You say, yeah, but I've got this pain in my body. Well, quit thinking about it. Don't focus on it. Have you ever noticed sometimes when you get busy, you don't notice it? And then when you're done with everything, then you go, wow, I've been hurting here all day. I didn't realize it. Whatever it is for you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. But the only difference was your focus. You were busy and you weren't thinking about you. Maybe you were serving someone. Or you're in the middle of worship. Or you're doing other things that God has actually called you to do. And then all of a sudden, after you've done these things that God told you you could do, like Jesus did Peter, walk on. Well, come on. Well, Jesus said, Peter's thinking, well, he wouldn't tell me to do it. If I couldn't do it, I'm going to trust him. So he began to do. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're not working. It's not working anymore. And even then, Jesus was immediately translated. He did not let him die. He did not fail him. But he did say, oh, ye of little faith. Focus. What you keep looking at is going to govern your life. Your focus. What do you focus on? What do you keep looking at? This is why the law, the Bible, gives you a law of liberty. Remember, the old covenant was the law of sin and death. And there was no real liberty in it. You just did it or it'd be bad. And you always had to pay for your sin under the old covenant. You paid for it. after you're born again, you don't pay for it anymore. You don't carry it anymore. You don't think about it anymore. It's an affront to God when we pull up our sin and we reminisce about how we messed up our life before we knew Jesus. Stop. Just stop. It's a waste of human energy. And it's an affront to what Jesus did for you on the cross. Because when we, every time we do that, we act like he didn't go do that for us. Think about it. Every time we have those thoughts, we act that way. We have a day or afternoon or 30 minutes, 2 seconds when we're thinking that way. It's an affront to Jesus that what he did didn't really matter. Because we're going to stay miserable for who we used to be and what we didn't know in our ignorance or rebellion. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it was. They are forgiven, erased. It's not on your record. And you bring stuff up to God and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. It's removed, not there. So no matter how much you've messed up, it could be this afternoon. It could be 10 minutes after church. Have you ever, anybody ever had a bunch of kids in the car? All right. And you get out of church, and it's like, y'all quit fighting. Stop it. And then you go, y'all quit fighting. All right. So there's the human element that we always have to deal with. I mean, you're always going to be human, so you're always going to have to deal with it. How are you dealing with that? How's that working for you? See, that's what it is. But how is that working for you? Your focus. Looking unto me, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to me, God says. It's always the focus. Our problem is always our focus. It's our focus. And a lot of times when you mess up, the Lord is so kind, or you're fixing to mess up, and he'll give you a scripture. This is why the word is so powerful. He talks to you through his word. I mean, Jesus spoke what had already been written about him. He said things that had been said he would say. The word is so powerful. Even Jesus trusted the word sometimes over his own emotions. Let the word just answer that question. And you can do that for yourself. Be angry and sin not. It's not a sin to be angry. It's what are you doing with it? Sometimes there is a righteous anger. If you can't get mad at the devil, I feel sorry for you. I mean, because really he is such a jerk, but he is a thought inserter. He comes in. It's like he just kind of thinks he can walk right in and tell you anything he wants to say. And as soon as he walks in, we listen. We listen to what he says. You might as well invite him over for tea with your good china. He's a thief and a robber. Why would we invite a thief and a robber to spend more time with us? In the natural, you would never do this. That's crazy. There you go. There you go. Right? Focus. See, people stumble because of focus. They mess up because they lost their focus. They're trying to figure something out. And God is sitting there with an answer going, I wish you'd hurry up and get tired and finally pray and ask me because I've been waiting on you to come to me. Cry to me. I'll answer you. Show you great and mighty things you don't even know anything about. Things you know not. Cry to me. Come to me with it. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, he says. He is your rest. He is your go-to place. Not the internet. But I always want to give Peter kudos because he did walk on water. You got to remember that about Peter. And immediately Jesus was there. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Well, he'd been doing miracles. Blind eyes open, people born blind. The lame walk, people born lame. Get up and running and jumping. How many times? What is he? What does he have to do? Come back from the dead. He's got to come back from the dead. And then they'll go, oh, wow. He really is different. He really isn't like us. He really is God on foot. Wow, it was true. See, Satan drew Peter's eyes to the storm. Isn't that what he does? He doesn't care anything about you or the storm or how it turns out. He just doesn't want you to have any faith in God. He wants you to have more faith in what he can do to you to hurt you than what God can do to help you and heal you and get you standing up and going forward again. Yeah. Our focus is powerful. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, Paul wrote this. This is, keep in mind, we're talking about focus. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of your five senses. Your war is not of your five senses, what you can feel or touch or taste or smell, any of those things. But they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is where we come in. Satan will present a thought, and then what you do with it, that's on you. That's going to be on you. It says, to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He was writing this letter to a church. Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. See, it's got to be Jesus. He's the author. He's the one who initiated your faith. He's the one who will take you all the way through the end until you go home to be with him. Galatians 5:7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This is what happened to Peter. Peter, you were doing great. What happened? Focus. I took my eyes off of him and who he is and what he can do. And I started thinking about what I could do about the situation. And it all fell apart. Because if you're out there on the water, you will need something supernatural. So when you start looking at what you can do about it and the wind and the waves and all that, and what am I going to do about that, you're not going to make it. Once you're off in the supernatural, it's not natural. And if it's not natural, it's not going to be very super either. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Well, the truth was Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the way. I am the way to God for you. So when Peter took his eyes off, he wasn't thinking about that at all, was he? Romans 14:23. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Every time we deviate, it's an affront to God. And yet he doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, David said. Was David perfect? Did he fail? Yes. Why? Because he's a human being, born into sin. There's only one perfect, and that was Jesus. Proverbs 3:5-8. Says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In all your ways, just acknowledge him. I'm going to read them all. But in all your ways acknowledge, he will direct your path. But he's got to be your focus. If any time you're trying to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and make something happen and do whatever, he'll wait for you to finally get tired and say, I can't do this. You'll have to do something. And he will give you direction, and then you can do something. But you're going to do the something he told you to do. Sometimes God will say, be still. Be still, don't do anything. Just wait. Wait on me. We're not good at, is anybody really good at waiting on God? I would love to meet you. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why? Because we want to fix it. We got to do something. We got to fix this problem. Some interpersonal thing, something in your family. Something's got to happen. Something's got to change. Something's got to be done about this. And God goes, this is true. And I'm still here. It isn't that he's complacent about you, but he's waiting. He's waiting on you. And he says you're supposed to wait on him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why would he say for us to wait on the Lord? Because if we don't do it his way, it's not going to work out the way we wanted it to. It's going to breed strife. It's going to hurt your finances. It's going to hurt your relationships with other people. It's going to cause you pain. It's going to cause you grief. Longer than you want to be there. It's always longer than you want to be there, right? So it's God's mercy. But he says, come get still before me. Let me speak to you. And if you've got the baptism, pray in tongues as much as you can. It bypasses your brain. You know, the thing that's in your way? That insults some people. Then you're too proud. If you think you can outsmart, outwit, outknow God, there's something wrong. Seriously wrong. You're not going to outdo God. And your plan will never be as good as his was for you. You know, so many times in life, we try to work a plan, something we think, something we just feel like we just have to have at the time. It's been disastrous. Because if you belong to him, he doesn't work that way. He won't go along with your crazy mess. God doesn't do crazy. He didn't do it. And so at some point, you're going to hit a wall and say, my life's a mess. Or, God, I don't know what to do. And God will say, finally, we're getting somewhere. That self-reliance. You know, we're taught to be very self-reliant growing up, aren't we? Very self-reliant. Be very responsible. You're responsible for your behavior. You're responsible. And that's true. But then what happens is when we cross over into the spirit realm, when you get to know Jesus, we still want to be self-reliant. We're still doing life the way we always did, as if we have not given our life to him. So there's got to be a transition somewhere along the way where it's not about us and what we think is right or wrong anymore. And we look into the Word, which is our liberty. The Word is your freedom. The Word isn't bondage. The Word is your freedom. It's your ticket to freedom is the Word. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Mark 9:23. Jesus made this comment to someone who needed help with what seemed like an impossibility in the story in Mark 9. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Believes what? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There's an old hymn. There's a chorus in an old hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm going to read it again because I think it's so cool. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And that things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. God, I thank you for your words of life today. They are. I thank you for truth. I thank you, God, that you are reminding us today our eyes have to be fixed on you. Our eyes have to be fixed, settled on you. We can't be wavering away from you and come to you and just tag home base every once in a while. We got to live there. We got to live there. Why? Because God is pitching some balls he wants you to hit. and you can only hit from home plate. Y'all stand up. Dora sit there. Even si vivio. This is a growing church. See, I'm more interested in us growing, like internally, than anything else. There are people who need to learn to think this way. I'm praying they find their way here. Something beyond step one, step two, step three, step 59. You'll understand. God, I thank you that you are God and we are not. I thank you for how you love us. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you've shown it. You've demonstrated it. I thank you that you saved Peter when he cried out. And I thank you that he became a man who was so faithful and so loyal to you, he refused to be crucified the way you were. He said, line me up on this thing differently. I don't deserve to be crucified the way Jesus was. Faithful follower. People give Peter a hard time for stuff they've done themselves. But it was recorded not to rebuke Peter. The things about Peter were recorded so we could identify with the love of God. Not Peter's failure. We don't identify with Peter's fail. We identify with the love of God, what God had for Peter. And he was immediately there, translated, to make sure Peter would be okay. Do you see the love of God in that story? Can you get yourself at that moment of Peter's fright and the disciples in the boat watching this go down in the dead of night? Jesus is faithful to us. God is faithful. He's faithful. My prayer is that I would be faithful to him at all cost. And whatever it costs me, it just costs me. I know people personally right now, they're in a prison cell in a foreign country because they love Jesus. May God help us in America to wake up. You're not going to see any of this stuff on your TV, news feed, anything. But it's going on all over the world. Much more than you would imagine. Thank you, God, for truth. I'm always thanking God he shows me truth. Because the truth you know will make you free. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. The truth makes you free. Not prayer. Not the laying of hands. The truth is what makes you, knowing the truth is what makes you free. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us today. We just give you all praise and all glory and all honor. Does anybody want prayer this morning for anything at all? Small or big, anything in particular or not particular much? Okay. Well, I love y'all very much, and I hope to see you very soon.